This is when it's on.
Okay. You'll tell me when. This
you
is
want a little bit of luck, a little bit of luck.
We'll see.
So just to review again, we started Perek Asiri in the end of Masechta Schulin. Whenever you shecht the behemah schulin anywhere in the world, that's how the Mishnah says, Ben Boris, Ben Mechutz Lord, you have an obligation to give Matnas Kuhuna. There are 24, it says in Gemara in different places, there are Chof Dalet Matnas Kuhuna. There are really more than Chof Dalet, so the Rishonim have different calculations. Which did the Chachamim combine together to shrink it to become 24? There are 24 Matnas Kuhuna. One of the popular ones is Pigin HaBen. We give Pigin HaBen the Truma, we don't give anymore. And the Maisa and the Maisa, the lady gives Maisa and Maisa, that we don't give, but Pigin HaBen we give. So Zrolo Chayayim HaKeva is supposed to be a din. Whenever you shech the Behem HaSchulun, doesn't apply to Kochim. Whenever you shech the Behem HaSchulun, you have to give three parts of the animal to the Kohanim. That's based on a Pasuk in Dvarim. Here the Gemara quotes the Pasuk on Kuf Lamed Amud Aleph, Kuf Lamed Amud Beis. It's in Dvarim chapter Yudches, Zeyyeh Mishpat HaKohanim, Me'ezah Om, Me'ezah Ovchel Zevach, M'shor M'seh B'nos L'Kohanis HaZroah V'Asalach HaYayim V'HaKeva. So the Gemara, we got up to the third line on Kuf Lamed Amud Beis. The Gemara quotes Rav Chisda has a comment, and the Gemara is going to discuss what is it based on. He says, Hamazik Matnas Kuhuna. Let's say I set aside Zrola Chayim Hakeva and I'm supposed to hand it over to a kohen. I have what we call Tovasano. I have the right to pick whichever kohen I want. I'm friendly with this kohen, so I'll give it to him. Or let's say a kohen will give me a bribe. The Zrola Chayim Hakeva is worth, $50. He'll give me $5 tip, I should give him. So that's not permissible. That's a pasuk in Treyosa. Shechatan bris alevi. If the kohen is misayeya beveis hagranas, the kohen will help out in the barn when they're harvesting the tvuah. He'll help out for nothing in order that the balasada should give him the truma. Or the levi will help out the balasada, the farmer, in order that the farmer should give him the maaserishon. So that's not permissible. But if his grandfather, let's say, I'm not a kohen, and I have a grandson who's a kohen. How is that? My daughter married a kohen. One of my daughters married a kohen. His name is Cohen. Okay. So. If I'm not a kohen, I give the kohen a $5 tip, and I say, do me a favor. When you have Zerah L'Chayim HaKeva, give it to my son-in-law. So the Gemara said, that is permissible. That's Tovas Ano, it's permissible. The farmer is, or the one who has the slaughterhouse, is permitted to take a bribe from a non-kohen, from the kohen himself, and not allowed to. From another kohen, also not allowed to. That's shechatan bris alevi. You're not allowed to play. You're not allowed to give a kickback. You're not allowed to give money in advance in order to bribe the farmer to give you the truma, the maaserishon, in order to bribe the shech, the one who's shechting the slaughterhouse, the owner of the slaughterhouse, to give you. But you should give to Ben Bita kohen. You should give to my grandson. That he is allowed to give a bribe. So, what happens? I have Zerah L'Chayim HaKeva worth $50, and someone comes and they burn it. Someone steals it. Aganov steals it and he walks off with it. And he eats it. It's kosher. He eats it. So, does he have to pay? It was worth $50. And he's not a kohen. The fellow who stole it is Nishkin kohen. So, does he have to pay some kohen? Does he have to pick a kohen, a favorite kohen of his, and give him $50 or not? So he says, Amar Av Chizda, that's the third line from the top. Hamazik Matnas Kuhuna. If someone comes and he burns the Zerah L'Chayim HaKeva or the Reish HaSages, that's the next parak. There's a mitzvah. If you shear off enough wool from enough animals, you have a minimum of five animals. You shear off the wool, and the wool has a certain minimum weight, a significant amount of wool. So then you give a certain percentage to the Kohanim. So somebody set aside Reish HaSages to give to the Kohanim. And then another person comes and he burns all of that wool. He destroys it, or he steals it, and he goes off with it, and he makes a sweater, and he keeps it from himself, made a shina. So does he have to pay for stealing it? So Zokta Achidush Patim Malusham doesn't have to pay. My timer, why in the world should he not have to pay? But he stole from the Shevet Kahuna. There's $50 worth of Zwada Chayim HaKeva, or $50 worth of Reshus HaGez over here. So why does he have to pay? Oh, so the one explanation is, that's the Lamdish explanation. It's what we call Mamish Eilo Toivim. Which particular Kohen could come and have a taina to me and claim that I owe him $50? There's no particular Kohen. There's no one Kohen who can claim. So if that's the reason why, it means that really the Ghana for the Mazik really ought to pay, but nobody can bring him to a Dintaira. But really on his own, he really should pay. He should pay. No Kohen can force him though, but really should pay. But the other explanation was that it's based on a pasuk, based on a gzeres hakasuk. So that's what the Gemara says. My taima, what's the reason for Rav Chisda's din that he can't force the ganav for the mazik, the one who burnt the reishis hagez, one who stole it, and he ate the zrah l'chayim hakev. He didn't force him to pay. He boy same if you want, or I can say the sib zeh. It says zeyem mishpat hakohanim esam. This he only give the zrah l'chayim hakev. Once someone stole it, not mechuyav to pay $50. However, the boys emo, the boys, and if you want to emo, I can say that it's not exeris akosu. It goes with this one. Shum dhabile mamish eno tovim. Which kind is going to be able to sue him in court?
If I give my maaser sheni to my serishel to this particular lady on the tongue, he's expecting it.
Mm-hmm. That's called makore kuhuna. Others mispronounce it makire kuhuna. Makore kuhuna ish meis makore. So that's takedin. If I always give my maaserishon to this levy, so we consider it as if the whole shevet levy only has one member. My favorite for purposes of my maaserishon, I always give it to him. He's my next door neighbor. And my family, we always give the pidyon of ben mani to Uncle Pesi. Uncle Pesach is a kohen. So whoever has any grandchild that has a pidyon ben, they always give the money to Uncle Pesach. So then we consider it as if it's mam sheyesh latov, as if the whole shevet kun only consists of one person. So right, that'll be the difference. If he says exeris hakasuv zeh apasik, that you never pay. But if he say because mam sheyesh latovim, then if it's makari kuhuna, then it will be considered mam sheyesh latov, because then we consider it as if the whole shevet kuhuna only consists of one person.
So in that case, let's say nobody stole, you have, what is it, like a chazaka, like you're obligated to give it to him once you've given it to him for a certain number of times?
Right, if it's understood, everybody, all the Kohanim, they all know that they don't have a chance. Everybody knows I'm going to give it to this person. Right.
Then you must give it to him for the rest of your life?
Yeah.
But later?
It's not that. Rashi writes in different places, it's as if all the other Kohanim are Messiah Das, as if they're Messiahish from this. The Pidyon HaBen money really belongs to the whole Shevet Kuhuna, or the Reshus HaGez, or the Zrah L'Chayim HaKeva, whatever it is, the 24 Matnas Kuhuna. Belongs to the whole Shevet Kuhuna, whoever they are. But all of the Kohanim, all the other Kohanim in the world know that they don't stand a chance. It's as if they're all Messiahish from it, and it's as if Shevet Kuhn only has one person, one member, this one coin. So it's considered as if it's his already. Yeah, it's considered. Rav Soloveitchik told a story. It's problematic. He told the following story, that a family had a firstborn boy, and they were going to have a pinyan ben, and they contacted a coin. The coin was going to come. They set the date. Shana's going to be 6:30 on Tuesday evening. And then the coin got stuck in traffic. And he calls up on the phone and he says, they're waiting in the waiting. It's an hour late already. So they're waiting for him. So then the shadow was, there were other Kohanim came there to celebrate the Pidyon HaBen. Other people came. So why do they have to wait for this Kohen and everybody keeping everybody wait an hour and longer? They can give the Pidyon HaBen money to a different Kohen because the other guy's coming late. Rabbi Soloveitchik said, it's questionable whether they'll be Yotze. Why? It's a tshuva in Rabbi Kivega about this. Whether this institution, this halacha of makori kuhuna, ish meyes makori, we all know that Uncle Pesi was called upon to do the pinyan ben. Here, in this case, it wasn't that this was the family coin, but they designated him already. They called him up and they agreed they're going to give it to him. So it's also he's makori kuhuna for this pinyan ben, maybe not for any other pinyan ben in the neighborhood, but for this pin. So then Rav Soloveitchik said it's questionable if they give it to a different coin. It could be that you're not yotze. So that's really, that could be that's too much. Because Reishis, I guess, is a tangible thing. I have a lot of wool. I have 50 pounds of wool. I designate 5 pounds of wool as Reishis, I guess. And this Reishis, I guess, belongs to the Kohen. I shechta behem haschulin. Cut out Zroel v'chayayim v'hakeva. These three matanas belong to Shevet Kohuna. So from the thousands of Kohanim who are alive in the world today, all of them are Messiahs, because we all know whom he's going to give it to. So Tziv Shevet Kohuna only has one person. But by Pidyon HaBen, there is no specific money. How can you say all the other Kohanim are Messiahs from what? He's Mukhif to give money. And even if he sets aside money, the father is Chayv B'Achriyus. So let's say he sets aside Reishis, I guess, and then he gets burnt by an accident. So he doesn't have to give additional Reishis, I guess. He was ready mafresh the Reishis, I guess. He sets aside Zolach HaYayim V'Akeva, and then it gets stolen. A goy comes and steals it, or it gets destroyed. Not mechuyif to give other Zolach HaYayim V'Akeva. This is the Matan's Kuna, but Pidyon HaBen money, there is no money. If and when I'll give it to the Kayan, this is the Pidyon HaBen money. But if I designate, let's say I go to the Israeli store and I buy the special Israeli coins that are worth 5 sloim that you can use for Pidyon HaBen money. I designated it, but the din is that that's nothing was chal in the money. If and when I'll give it to the Kayan, then it'll be I did Pidyon HaBen this month. But there's no hafrasha. There's a hafrasha's truma. He set aside truma, so the Yisr Tevel goes off, and this is truma. I set aside Zralach HaYayim V'Hakeva. That's Shaykh to talk, but there is no hafrasha by Pidyon HaBen money. So that's why there's a question whether the whole din of Makor Kun applies at all. And to say that it's Makor B'Dieved, the whole thing is questionable. So, but Rav Soloveitchik said they shouldn't switch the kain because of the din of Makor Kun.
The same din if you're Mazik, be the same din if you have a Tarovis of the Matanos, as well as Chaim Bakeva, then is your Achiev to give, even if it's Batel, is your Achiev to give the Mammon to the kain?
Same Shiloh.
Same
Shiloh. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says there are two explanations for Rav Chisda's din. Either it's a general din mom shein lo tovim, then it should apply to all matnas kuna. Or you can say it's a gzeris hakasav over here only by zvolach hayayim v'akev, because it says zeh, this and only this. You only have to give the zvolach hayayim v'akev, but if it got lost or got destroyed or someone stole it and ate it, then you're not mechayev to give the $50 instead. So the Gemara says, Meisvei, well, ask Akasha, how can Rav Chisda say that you can't sue, the Kohanim cannot sue the Ganav, they know who the Ganav was who stole the flesh and he ate it up, they cannot sue him to make him pay the money. Freg the Gemara, Shteita Drosha Abraisa, Zeyi Mishpat Akonim Eisom, Mishpat sounds like a Din Torah. Mishpat is a Din Torah. So it says, Malame, that usage of the word Mishpat indicates Amaton is Din. There's an Indian of a din Torah over here. Freg din mala my hilchasa. What's the din Torah all about? Who's making a din Torah? Guy shechts a behemah. He gives the matnas kuna zolach hayam v'akeva lav. So my lav. What does it probably mean? Lahotzia b'dayonim means if a ganef stole the zolach hayam v'akeva and he ate it, so we bring him to a din Torah and we make him pay. So doesn't it say fakir from Rav Chisda? Rav Chisda says you can't make him pay. And for the mal nein loy. The brisa that says mishpat means it's a din Torah, the bezin has to pasken on it. Not that they're going to pasken on a ganav. No, they pasken in advance. Nobody stole the zolach hayayim v'akeva. Somebody shechted an animal. He sets aside the zolach hayayim v'akeva. And then the shayla is, which coin does he have to give it to? So he has tovus hanoah. He has tovus hanoah. He has the right to pick any coin he wants. And the Gemara says, no. That you can have a din Torah about that. You're supposed to give the zvalach hayam v'akeva to a learned kain. It has to be a talmid chacham. So the bezdin's going to pasken who qualifies, who's a talmid chacham and who's not. That's what the Gemara says. Lo lechokam b'dayanim. What it means is that you're supposed to, when you give away the zvalach hayam v'akeva, you have to, the dayanim, the bezdin has to pasken to whom you should give it. Kidder Abshmo ban Achmeni. What's it? They're gezocht. Amar Abshmo ban Achmeni. Amar Rabbi Yonison. Minayin. Where do we learn that from a pasuk in Tanakh? Shein doste matonis el lekayin am haaretz. You're not supposed to give any of the matons kuna pidyon haben, reishis hagez, anything. Truma, trumas maisa. He's supposed to always give to a learned kohen. Shenemar, the pasuk says in Divrei Hayomim, "Vayom alo am liyoshev Yerushalayim losis minos hakohanim halvim the matnas kohuna." There are 24 matnas kohuna. There are matnas levia. And man yichaska b'toras Hashem. The whole purpose of giving Shevet Levi was designated Yoram Mishpatecha LeYankam Seroscha LeYisrael. Shevet Levi is supposed to be sitting and learning. That's why they weren't given a chelik baretz. The rest of Klal Yisrael is supposed to support them. They're supposed to have the kodol. They're supposed to be the international kodol of all of Klal Yisrael, the Kohanim and Levim. So you should give them the matonis, all the 24 matonis, l'man yichaskev v'toras Hashem, to support them in their learning. So what do you see from the pasuk? Kol ha'machzik v'toras Hashem yesh l'menos. One who sits and learns, if the kohen is a learned person, you give him matonis. She'en ha'machzik v'toras Hashem, if he's not a learned kohen, ein l'menos. So that's the meaning of the second brisa that we call it. Zeh ha'mishpat ha'kohenim alameid, she'ha'matonis din, whom do you give it to? There's room for a din Torah. If two Kohanim come and they both request that I should give them the Zerulah Hayayim HaKeva, so I'll ask a Bezna, and Bezna will fahar them to see if one is much more learned than the other, but they're both learned. So you have a right to Tevis HaNot to give to whomever you want. One of them is clearly not learned at all, then you're not supposed to give them. It's not proper. You're not supposed to give them the Matnas Kunim.
What kind of Tovah is it? If the Bezna says you have to give it to this guy?
No, they give him the right to pick from all of those who are scholarly, all of those who are learned Kohanim, Hatat Tovah Tanoh. But he has no right to pick a non-learned Kohen. It doesn't mean you have to give to the most learned. You're not allowed to give to one who's not into learning. They're giving the Matan's Kohen is both to support him in his learning. So Rav Chisda made a statement, and it's a wild Chiddush. Amazik Matan's Kohen El Shachol and Potter. The Gemara wants to know, is he right, is he wrong? That we have evidence to support, that we have a brisa that contradicts Toshma. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, Mishpat, says, by Zohar HaChayim HaKev, Zeyem Mishpat HaKonim Esom. So Mishpat teaches Malameid, Shahamatana is Din. It's something to do with a Din Torah, a Din Imamanus. But it's only Zohar HaChayim HaKev. Yochel, maybe one will mistakenly think, Afilu Chazav V'Shek, when you bring a Shlamim to the Beis HaMikdash as a carbon, so the Bala carbon eats the whole flesh, it has to be tohar, it has to go to Mikveh and eat it, and Yerushalayim, it's Kachim Kalim, you can eat it anywhere in the whole Yerushalayim, and the Kohanim have to be given the Chaz of a Sheikh, the Kohanim have to eat Chaz of a Sheikh. So maybe I would think mistakenly that not only Zwala Chayim HaKeva is a Din Torah, maybe Chaz of a Sheikh is also Din Tamalayim is there. Only Zeyim is Patakonim. Only Zwala Chayim HaKeva is a Din, and Chazav Shoik is not. So the Gemara says, what in the world is this all about? That this is a din and this is an ishkin din. What is it referring to? Lemai. With respect to what? Is this yes a din and this is not a din? So there is a very old minig that we do pinyin aben. There's a din when you have a firstborn baby is a boy, so you give pinyin aben money. When you give pinyin aben? After 30 days. So you give on the Yom Lamed Aleph, let's say the baby's born on a Sunday. So 28 days later is the baby's born on Sunday, so Shabbos is the end of the week. So 28 days later is going to be Shabbos. Then Sunday is going to be, after 4 weeks, Sunday is going to be 29, and Monday is going to be 30, and you give Pidyon HaBen a Yom Lamed Aleph after the 30 days are up. So the baby's born on Sunday, 2 days later you give Pidyon HaBen on Tuesday. That's always 2 days after when the baby's born. Because if it's going to be the same day the baby was born, that's day number 29. And 2 days later it's going to be 30, 31. So that's the practice. The baby's born, let's say, on a Thursday, so 2 days later it's going to be on a Shabbos. So the Seder Shulchan Aruch, you don't give Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Because it's Pareh Achoyiv. You're not allowed to do Piron. It comes from the Trumas Hadesh. He says, you're not allowed to do it. There's a din mid the Rabbanon. You're not permitted to make Piron Achoyiv on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Zerish and Yichtov. I may mark down that I already paid up this debt. Let's say I owe the babysitter, I have a Goyish babysitter. So I owe the babysitter money. Babysitter calls up on Friday. She wants to come on Friday night to pick up her money. So am I allowed to leave the money in the drawer? And she rings the bell, I'll open the door and say, the money is in the drawer. So it's essential, you're not allowed to, even though you're not handing over the money, you're not allowed to, because Piron HaChayv is awesome at the Rabbanon, Gzeir Hashem HaYichtov. You're not allowed to make a halvoa on Shabbos Yom Tov, Gzeir Hashem HaYichtov, and you're not allowed to do a Piron HaChayv, even though you don't do it by a dime, also they're saying Gzeir Hashem HaYichtov. So the Trumas Hadeshin came up with this Einfall. You're not permitted to do Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos Yom Tov because of Piron HaChayv. So the truth of the matter is that it's not really a valid reason. Let's say I borrowed $100,000 from the bank. And I come, I have to pay back the money. So I give the money back to the cashier in the bank, and I say, here's the money, matana amanas lahachzir. So that's not valid. I owe you $100,000. Matan Maras Lach says Shalachem by Lulav. The first day, first 2 days Sukkot, you need Shalachem. So if I give him Matan Maras Lach says, so it belongs to you till you give it back. So all you need is I have to have Shalachem. But if I pay, do Piron Achayit Matan Maras Lach, that's not a Piron Achayit. You have to give them the money, they should be able to keep it. What's it then if you do Pidyon Ben Matan Maras Lach? The father of the baby gives the Kohen 5 slime and he says it's a Matan Maras Lach. So the Gemara says in the beginning of Kiddushin, it is good. The two Girsas in the Gemara, is it permissible to do that shtick or not? Maybe it's a violation of Shichat and Bris HaLevi. It's like the Kohen is going to bribe me that I should give him the Matana here. The only reason why I'm giving him, because he agrees to this condition. I'm giving him Matana Las Lachzer, so the other Kohen will not agree. So this guy does agree. So maybe that's not proper. So that's two Girsas in the Gemara. Is it an Isser or not? Is it a violation of Shichat and Bris HaLevi, the Mavaza, the Matan's going to be? The Gemara says, you Yotze the Pidyon HaBen. So if it would be Piron HaChayv, it's not a Piron HaChayv if you give Matan HaManas L'Achsa. So obviously it's not really a Chayv. It's a Mitzvah's Nesina. So since Matan HaManas L'Achsa, Shema Matana, so therefore it's considered as if you were Yotze the Nesina. And the truth of the matter is, are you allowed to do, you're not allowed to give, are you permitted to give Matan's Kahuna on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Are you allowed to give, let's say, the farmer was Mafresh Truma, or Maaser Rishon? He's supposed to give the Truma to the Kohen, he's supposed to give Maaser Rishon to the Levi. Are you permitted to give Matan's Kahuna to the Kohen and to the Levi on Shabbos and Yom Tov? So the Gemara says in the first Perek and Beit, it's a long discussion, Machlokes Satanoim. So the Gemara says, on Yom Tov, when you're allowed to knead dough in order to make fresh challahs, some people bake their own challahs on Yom Tov. Tzorech HaNefesh, challah tastes better if it's baked fresh. There used to be a professor in Washington, so he always used to bake his challahs on Yom Tov. He used to bake his challahs on Yom Tov, Tzorech HaNefesh, and it tasted much better because it was baked on Yom Tov. So, so the Gemara says, if you mix dough on Yom Tov, and it became chayv and challah on Yom Tov, then you're permitted to be mafresh challah. Normally you're not allowed to be mafresh trumas and maisis on Shabbos and Yom Tov, because it's mesakan monah. There was an isa tevel on the food, and when you mafresh, when you take out the challah, you take out the trumas and maisis, and now it's muta b'achil. Mm-hmm. So the Mishnah has that din, you're not allowed to be emak being trumas and maisis b'Yom Tov kavachayim b'shab. B'Yom Tov arma kavachayim b'shab, you're not allowed to. But the Gemara says, if you needed the dough on Yom Tov, on Shabbos you can't need dough, it's a malacha of lisha. But if you need it though, on Yom Tov, Eichel Nefesh is Mutam Elisha V'Yelech, starting from Elisha on, those malachas you're allowed to do. You're not allowed to pluck off fruits from the tree on Yom Tov, even though it's Eichel Nefesh, that's too far away from the final product. But to mix flour with water, that's closer to the final product of eating it. So Elisha V'Yelech is Mutam Mishim Eichel Nefesh. So if you need it though on Yom Tov, and then you can, and then you bake it, you bake challah, so you can't eat it unless you mafresh challah. So the Gemara says you're permitted to be mafresh the challah on Yom Tov, and you're permitted to give it to the Kohen on Yom Tov. Why? Because it was nischayev and matan skun on Yom Tov. Chiyuv is chal today on Yom Tov when you needed the dough. So the truth of the matter is Pidyon HaBen, if you gave the Pidyon HaBen before the Yom Lamed Aleph, you're not yotzei, the Gemara says. If I gave the, let's say I gave the 5 sloim to the Kohen a week before the 31st day, or the day before, I have to wait till 31st day. If I give it before, the Kohen already spent it. By the time it comes Yom Lamed Aleph, he already spent all the money, so he doesn't have the money anymore on Yom Lamed Aleph. So the Gemara says, I'm not Yotze in the mitzvah opinion. You're only Yotze if you give it after Yom Lamed Aleph. So the Chiyuv is Chal on the Yom Lamed Aleph. So whenever the Chiyuv Matan's Kuna is Chal on the Yom Lamed Aleph, then the din should have been that you're allowed to give it to the Kohen. You shouldn't handle money on Yom Tov. It's muktzah. So who says you have to give Pidyon HaBen with money? The Gemara talks about Egel Zed Pidyon Bnei, Tala Zed Pidyon Bnei. You can give Shavei Kesef also. You don't have to dafke give Kesef. Money would be muktzah. So give something else other than money. I remember I once went to a Pidyon HaBen in Philadelphia. So the Kohen only, it was on a Sunday, the Kohen insisted he only wanted a Becher. He didn't want money. I think what he meant was, if you give me money, it's understood I'm going to have to give it back. Give me a becher, I'm going to keep the becher. So he had a whole collection of bechers in his home. So the father, the son, had to go find the Judaica store and had to go buy him a becher that had the value, the minimum value, probably more. He had to spend more for the becher than just the chamesh shloim. So you can give shavei kesef also. So strictly speaking, b'ikra din you should be permitted to give, should be mechuyev to give pidyon haben on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Give him a shavei kesef, give him a becher, give him a set of svarim that's worth 5 shloim. So he won't be a violation of handling mukta.
Did he ask him for change from the
Becher? I don't think he did. He gave him the extra. Rabbi Aben gave him the extra money, yeah. So strictly speaking, there should really be mutter to do pidyon haben on Shabbos Yom Tov. But that's minik. That's the minik. There used to be a Rabbi Wolkin, the grandfather of the Meish Wolkin, who lives here in the neighborhood.
His father,
the Rav in Pinsk, a baron. I think he's a rabbi. So he has a tshuva sefer, his Kana Harad. He was a prominent rabbi in Europe. He's a very respectable rabbi. He has very nice tshuvas. Kana Harad, very fundamental tshuvas. Chacham Avadia quotes it very often. He has very strong tshuvas. He has one tshuva about making pidyon haben Shabbos Yom Tov. He says, strictly speaking, it's mutter. Mikra Adin is mutter. This chumra, not to do pidyon haben Shabbos Yom Tov, was invented by the Trumas Hadesh. He doesn't believe that in the days of the Rishonim they followed that. He says that he thinks a more correct Mikra Adin should have been that you do pidyon haben Shabbos Yom Tov. The meaning is that you don't. So you're supposed to do pidyon haben on the Yom Laman Aleph. And the Yom Laman Aleph. So when do you do it on the Yom Laman Aleph? So there's a minig in Shulchan Aruch. You do it by Yom, with Shachkot. You don't do it Leil Laman Aleph. You do it by Yom Laman Aleph. Where did this minig come from? So they give, I think, 8 different explanations. They give different, each explanation contradicts the other. So some say, so the Shach says, because the minig is when you do Pinyin HaBen, you make a big party. And at night it's dark and you don't see what you're eating. And the Gemara says in the last Perek in Yuma that blind people don't enjoy their food as much as people who do have eyesight, because the pleasure is when you see the delicious food and the color and your mouth starts to water, so then you enjoy it better. But if you're blind or it's at night time you can't see, so you don't enjoy the food as much. So the meaning is that you always make a suda by pidyon haben. Why do you make a suda by pidyon haben? By bris milah, the stakachiv to make a suda. Because at bris milah, there's an inya of simcha. The Gemara quotes on the first daf in Rav Lezer the Milah. We learned Perek Rav Lezer the Milah, Masech HaShabbos, on daf Kuf Lamed. The Gemara quotes the pasuk Tilim. Soso nech alim arsecha, kemotzi sholol rav. David HaMelech says he's so excited, he's so happy for a certain mitzvah. What mitzvah? Which mitzvah? The Gemara refers to the mitzvah of Milah. Somehow the mitzvah of Milah carries with it an inya of simcha. So to demonstrate that the simcha, so you throw a suda, you throw a party. But by pidyon haben, the Gemara says by bris milah, you really should have said shas simcha b'mona, like by shever brachas. In the benching, you say shas baruch alakena shas simcha b'mona. So by bris milah, you really should have said shas simcha b'mona, because it's a mitzvah of simcha in connection with the bris. But because of tzar deinuke, you don't say shas simcha b'mona. So the Rishonim ask him, what about by the pidyon haben? The baby already got over the pain from the bris. So maybe you should say by the suit of a pidyon haben shal simcha mona. So they say no, there's bechlam no simcha. Pidyon haben, there is no simcha. So why do you make a suda? The suda is usually an expression of simcha. So the suda by bris is a suda smitzvah. The suda by pidyon haben is not really a suda smitzvah. There's no chiyuv simcha. It's just the whole mitzvah looks so secular. You just give a couple of dollars to the kohen. That's a mitzvah. He said bracha, give money. Dirty money that everybody handles has everybody's germs on it. So in order to make it look a little more like a mitzvah, so you have a suda, and the coin says bar pi agafen. What's up to bar pi agafen? You say bar pi agafen. You say kiddush. You say avdol. You say bracha by the bris. You say bracha by the chasana. You just say bar pi agafen. You drink a cup of wine. You make it look like a religious ceremony. You're making a ceremony out of it, because the pidyon haben looks so secular. It doesn't look like a mitzvah. You give him a couple of dollars. They probably do. I don't know. They had a couple of years ago, they had Pinyin Petach Hamor in Eretz Yisrael. They probably did make a big suda. No one had ever seen a Pinyin Petach Hamor for centuries, yeah.
How come they say when you go to a Pinyin of Ben, it's like you're Mekayim, I don't know how many Taneis?
Pay dollar Taneis. 84 Taneis. That's in Kabbalah. I don't know what that is. So that's the Shach gives that. The Shach on Yeridah says the reason why you don't make Pinyin HaBen by Laila because it's dark. and you want to enjoy the food. And the meaning is you always make a certain connection with the Pidyon HaBen. So that's why you do Pidyon HaBen Bayom. If that's the reason, we have all the weddings at night. You have all the chandeliers. It's Laila Kayom Yoyer. By us, the light, the night is lit up the same as the day. So that reason doesn't apply to Zman HaZeh. We have electric bulbs. Everybody, everything is lit up. So they give different explanations. So some say because Pidyon HaBen is Rech on the Makas Bukharis, Makas Bukharis happened in the daytime. What do you mean? Makas Bukharis happened in the middle of the night? So they say, no. If you look in the introduction to Maseches Machas, Maseches Machas is from the days of the Goyim, it's not from the Tanoim or the Amoraim. It's all Hilchas Avelos. It's a Lashon Saginor. We call it Smachas. It really, in Mitzvahs, the Dinim of Avelos, and the introduction, the introductory paragraph before Maseches Smachas begins says, Hashem Hika Kol Bechor, the Eretz Mitzrayim, at Chatzos they took sick, and they were suffering all night long from Chatzos till the morning, and Alos HaShachar, then they died. So they died in the daytime. That's what somebody asked Rav Chaim Kanievsky, how come by Meirev and by Shachris, he said, Emes V'yatzev, Emes V'emunah, and we elaborated about Yitzias Mitzrayim. You have to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim by Yom HaLaila. So by Laila, Emes V'yatzev, Emes V'emunah, they both mention Yitzias Mitzrayim, Makas B'chayres, and Kriyas Yamsev. But the Makas B'chayres is slightly different. By Meirev, you say, Amaka V'yavrosa called B'chayres Mitzrayim. Amaka V'yavrosa, he hit them. In the morning, by Emes V'yatzev, it says, "Es b'charim harakto, harakto." How come in the morning you say harakto? How come Allah they say hamake? So they say Abraham Kanievsky said because that's what it says in the Hakdamah to Maseches Machas that at Vayimachzi Alayla Hashem Hika called b'char. They took sick, but they didn't die till the morning. So that's what some Machrayim said. That since Makas B'char occurred in the daytime, so that's why in Pidyon HaBen is supposed to be Zech and Makas B'char. So that's why you do it by him. Everybody's searching for a different reason. Others give a different reason, that there's one opinion, the Shach quotes from the Rishonim. The Chumash says you should do Pidyon HaBen when the baby is a chodesh old, a month old. So how much is a month old? So we say the Yon Laman Aleph. So some Rishonim write, the Shach quotes it, some Rishonim write, how much time is it? What's the average amount of time between one moilad of the Levana and the next moilad of the Levana? So the difference is Chak Tes Yom Yud Beisois Tash Tzag Chalokim. It's 29 days, 12 hours and change. Almost 13 hours. So a lot of times, if the baby will be born late in the afternoon, let's say now, the Shkia is what time? 7:45? The baby will be born 7:30 at night, 7:30 in the evening, 50 minutes before the Shkia. So when it comes Yom Lamed Aleph, if you're going to do Pidyon HaBen at night, it's not going to yet be 29 and a half days. Even if you do it in the morning, it may not be 29 and a half days. I remember I was once at a Pidyon HaBen. The boys Pidyon HaBen wasn't now my Shia. So this was 20 years ago. I was at a Pidyon HaBen. His Pidyon HaBen was in some restaurant on Chol HaMoed Pesach. So they said they're waiting to Cheftes Yom Yud Beishtzos Tash Tzag Chalokim. So they asked me to speak before the Pidyon HaBen. So I was ready to wind down. I gave a drasha for around 15-20 minutes. So the father of the baby slips me a piece of paper. I should please speak for another 6 minutes. It's not yet this man. They wanted to wait to Cheftes Yom Yud Beishtzos. So some Achrayim say the reason why we do Pidyon HaBen by Yom and not by Laila is because we want to make sure there's more of a chance that it's going to be 29 and a half days to change since the baby was born. Because you want to have, if you have a chodesh tipti, you want to have all chodesh, and the chodesh is, according to some Rishonim, the Shach quotes like that. That's Chav Tazio. And others say they have another, I think there are 8 or 9 reasons. So some of the Achrayim say because of this pasuk. It says, this pasuk is not about Pidyon HaBen. This pasuk is about Zvelach Hayayim V'Akeva. It says, Zeyeh Mishpat HaKodem Esa'om. And Mishpat means that it's like a Din Torah. So there's a Din. A Din Torah has to be Bayom. You cannot make a Din Torah Balayla. That's wild. So they made it into a Din Deraisa. They made it into a Din Deraisa. That you shouldn't make Pidyon HaBen Balayla. You have to make a Dafke Bayom. The Netziv has an interesting tshuva in the Meshiv Dover. He thinks, based on Gemara, he thinks that Bizman Gemara, the practice always was that they did Pidyon HaBen the earliest available opportunity, Le'el Amid Aleph. He thinks they always did it, that he says, in the later years. The Shach lived in the 1600s. In later years, the minig changed, and it became that you do a dafka by yom. Instead, you really should say zviz magdim lemitzus. Why should you wait till later? That's what the Stechemin has a long complaint. The common practice is you always do pinyan aben late in the afternoon, half an hour before the shkia, and then you go right before the shkia. You go, the suda begins on yom lamed aleph, then it continues into the night. So the Stechemin says it's not right. You should really do the pinyan aben at the crack of dawn in the morning. Why should you wait till the evening? Is reason magdim in the mitzvahs? The answer is because you're going to have it in the morning. Hardly anybody's going to show up to the pinyan aben. Everybody has to go to work. You're going to have it later in the evening, so more people will show up. So which is more important? Berovam hadas melech, to have a bigger crowd when you perform the mitzvah, was reason magdim in the mitzvah. So the stechem and all the achrayim say. So the favorite gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Gemara says you can blow shofar in the earlier generations. They used to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz for Shachris, because Viz Magdim Le Mitzvahs. Adi Gemara says, but the shul is half empty, because the pop, a lot of half, most of the people are going to come in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, so they're going to miss Kriya Shofar and Shachris. So the Gemara says, still, even though there's a consideration of Raibam Habis Melech, you should have a, you'll have a bigger crowd if you blow a Musaf, but Viz Magdim Le Mitzvahs takes precedence if you really blow in Shachris. So why did the minhag change? The Mishnah says you blow shofar in the middle of Musaf. The Gemara says b'shas gzeres malchus shanina. The government in the times of the Tanan, the government made a gzeret. They thought that the Jews are blowing shofar as a simon that they're rebelling. Wartime, they're rebelling against the government. So they were going to come and put all the Jews in jail. So they said we're not rebelling. So they moved it to Musaf, and then they said Shema Yisrael in the middle of the Chazar Sashatz and in the Kedusha. So they did so many religious rituals, so the police representing the government realized that's all a religious ritual, no one's declaring any war over here. But you see from the Gemara, Beferish Gemara, that Zviz Magdim in the Mitzvahs takes precedence over Roivam Hadas Mel. So that's what the Stechem and many other Chaim say. They're very unhappy why we have this practice. You always do a Pidyar Aben late in the afternoon. You should really do it earlier in the morning, to do Zviz Magdim in the Mitzvahs. So the Netziv claims, he thinks based on Gemara's Bismarck Gemara, they did it Leil Amid Aleph, because Vizim Magdim in the Mitzvahs. And he claims this a later minig that the Shach records, Shach lived in the 1600s, later minig that you do the Pidyon Aben Dafka Bayim. So because it's an unclear minig, what it's based on, so everybody gave a different suggestion. So these are some of the eight suggestions that they have.
If you did give it before Yom Lamed Aleph and the Kohen did not spend it, let's say the Becho, would you be Yotze?
Then the Gemara says you're Yotze. Yeah.
Would you therefore tell people that if the baby was born on a Thursday, just give it on give it early at Becho, and then you time the mitzvah of Mela on Shabbos without having to violate any of the Minhagim?
So the Chumash Hadeshin is the one who invented Rabbaran Wolkin in his Tshuva, right? He thinks Chumr zumi bitno shalat Chumras Hadeshin Yotzen. He was the one who invented this Chumr, not to do Pidyon Aben on Shabbos. So the Chumras Hadeshin says, why not do the Pidyon Aben on Thursday? And tell the coin, don't spend the money. So he says, then you can't say a bracha. You won't be able to say a bracha on Thursday, because since the mitzvah is not completed till it comes Shabbos and the coin didn't spend it, he may spend the money and it'll come out that it's a bracha levatoli. He didn't fulfill anything. So the Chumras Hadeshin says, you should wait till Sunday. So that's a shaila if you.
Make the bracha on Shabbos.
So they say you can only say a bracha when you do a maisa hamitzvah. When you have a kiyum hamitzvah, you don't say a bracha. When you have a kiyum hamitzvah, but you didn't do the maisa hamitzvah, you don't say a bracha. We spoke about it on different occasions. The din is that if it's ben hashmoshes of Shabbos and the balbosta didn't bench licht yet, so the Mishnah says in Bamei Medlik and Sofek Hashecha Sanakein Hashecha, Ei Malik Masaner, you're not allowed to bench licht because it's a malacha. And Dein Hashmoshes is Safik Yam Safik Laila, so Safik Deraisa Lechumer. So in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechavet Paskins, not everybody agrees, but in Shulchan Aruch Paskins like this, that Amir Lenochri is Mutan Dein Hashmoshes Letzorach Govel, Letzorach Mitzvah. So if you ask a guy, the Balabas that didn't bench Licht, and the house is dark, not that all the lights are burning, she didn't say Bracha. The house is dark, she forgot to bench Licht, and it's dark in the house. So the Shulchan Aruch says you're permitted to ask a guy to light the candles, and then the Magen Avraham says, then the Balabasta can say the bracha Shekirishana mitzvah son lahalak ner shel Shabbos. So the Achrayim disagree with the Magen Avraham. Say the guy can't say the bracha. He can't say Shekirishana mitzvah son tzivon. It's not true. The Jew is not doing the Maisa mitzvah. The Jew has the Kiyama mitzvah that he just caused that his house is lit up because he got the goy to light, but he didn't do the actual maisa mitzvah. So the role chaylek on this, the birkei yosem, and others, the chaylek on the Mogen Avram, you can't say a bracha if you're not performing the maisa mitzvah yourself. So here they did the maisa mitzvah on Thursday, and then on Shabbos you get a kiyum mitzvah in the meila, you just sit back. So they say you're going to lose the bracha. Thursday you can't say the bracha because you don't know what's going to be, and the mitzvah didn't take effect yet. Then on Shabbos you're not doing the maisa mitzvah. So that's why I say you should postpone it till after Shabbos. So that's the shayla. When the Yom Laman Aleph was Shabbos, so you postpone it. So when do you do the pidyon? Then do you do Amatzai Shabbos Balayla, or do you do it Sunday morning, or do you do it Sunday evening? So even there you makpid not to do it Balayla. So that's a machloikas, the kids of Shulchan Aruch and the Chochma Sodom. When the pidyon Aben was supposed to take place on Shabbos, so when, and we don't do that, we follow the Trumas Hadesh, and we don't do pidyon Aben on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So is it preferable to do it the earliest available opportunity to make Amatzai Shabbos? And other Achranim say, no, we have such a strong meaning not to do Pidyon HaBen Balayla, so we do it even there by Yom. But then a relative of mine had that case, so they did Pidyon HaBen late Sunday afternoon, right before the Shkia. On a regular day, on a normal Pidyon HaBen, when it's actually on the Yom Lamed Aleph, the Achranim are not happy. The Stechemet especially has a long Arich, is not happy why you postpone Pidyon HaBen to late in the afternoon. So Kavach Haimah, if the Pinyan Ben should have been done on Shabbos and you postpone it to Sunday, so also you do it late in the afternoon. It's a mitzvah to do it late. Sunday the people don't go to work, so have it in the morning. You have the same number of people who show up. They're not going to the office on Sunday. You should have it Sunday morning. Better to have Matzoi Shabbos. But Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. He once allowed a Pinyan Ben Balayla. What happened was, the parents invited all the people to come to a Pinyan HaBen, they miscalculated. They didn't know you do the Pinyan HaBen Yom Lamed Aleph. They thought you do it on Yom Lamed. So when the Kohen came, and they're about to do the Pinyan HaBen, so yes, when was the baby born? Turns out the baby was born not 4 weeks ago, 2 days before, 1 day before. So today's the Yom Lamed. So you can't do a Pinyan HaBen on Yom Lamed. So they called up Rav Moshe Feinstein. At that time, everybody had access. You just call Rav Moshe on the phone and ask him a shayla. So they asked, what should we do? So he said, stall off till Tzeis HaKachovim, sings miras or whatever, do something, serve the meal, and then do the Pinyan HaBen, Le'el Lamed Aleph. If everybody came already, so you do the Pinyan HaBen, Le'el Lamed Aleph. I remember once in Washington Heights, Kelda Spireggen used to be a secretary in the yeshiva. So she had a grandson that needed a Pinyan HaBen. Pinyan HaBen was supposed to be on a Friday. So it was a short Friday in the middle of the winter. So people had to go to work. So no one was going to show up to the Pinyan HaBen. So Rabbi Schwab said, so do the Pinyan HaBen on Thursday night. On Le'el Lamed Aleph. If you have a Shas HaTchak, say, do the Pinyan HaBen on Le'el Lamed Aleph. So some say that this idea, you not to do Pinyan HaBen, Balayla has to be Bayom, is based on this drosha. It cannot be. That it's called, this pasuk is not talking about Pinyan HaBen, it's talking about Zohar L'Chayim V'Akeva. And the drasha was that it says mishpat. And mishpat means that it's like a din Torah, and a din Torah has to be in the yom. You can't begin a din Torah. I have to begin the din Torah by yom. It's too fancy. So it's just not always gehalt, not correct. So again, so the Gemara quotes Toshma. They quote a brayser of Yudah ben Misera that the word mishpat appears in connection with Zohar L'Chayim V'Akeva, and not does not appear in connection with Chazav Hashoyka v'Kav Shlomim. So there's a difference. So, Zohar L'Chayim V'Akeva has a din of mishpat, a din of din, and Chazav V'Shoyk is not. So the Gemara says, Lamai, with respect to what do you draw a distinction between Zohar L'Chayim V'Akeva and Chazav V'Shoyk? Where do you see a difference between the two? E Lema, if you should say L'Chalka B'Dayonim, that's Zohar L'Chayim V'Akeva you have to give to a Talmid Chacham. So the Bezdin has to give you a list of approved Kohanim. You can give it to the following Kohanim, they'll learn it. You can't give it to the others. So Chazav HaShoyk is the same thing. So why did the Brice say, Otter Chazav HaShoyk, Labad Dayanim, Echalka? Also the same thing. Yeah, the Bezdin has to give you a list of approved Kohanim who are learned enough that you're allowed to give the Matan Skuna to them. It cannot be. So what did the Brice say, draw a distinction? All the 24 Matan Skuna you have to give to a Kohen who's learned.
Aren't you giving it to Kohanim that are doing the avoda at that point? So whoever is there, whatever Kohanim or
the Beis Hamikdash. Rashi says that, right. Chazav HaShoyk You don't have a Tovus Anot to give it to whichever Kohen you want. You have to give it to whichever Beis Av. There were 24 Mishmaris, and every Mishmar is divided into 6 Batei Avos. So whatever day you bring the Korban Shlamim, you don't have the choice to give to whomever you want. But among those Kohanim, not all among those Kohanim who will be in the Beis Hamikdash, some of them will be learned, some of them will not be learned. Even a Kohen is not learned, he can be Makar Korbanos in the Beis Hamikdash, but then the Beis Din will have to give you a list of approved. The list is not going to be all the Kohanim in the world. It will be from those who are not Mishmar, not Beis Av from that day. The learned ones you can give the Chazer V'Shok to, and the non-learned you cannot give. But it's going to be the same thing. It's more restricted than Zralach Hayam Akev. It's only to the Kohanim of that Mishmar, not Beis Av, that particular day. But they have to be learned. So the Gemara says, "Ot to Chazer V'Shok, Laba Dayanam B'Chalka," the same thing. You have to give it to a learned Kohen. So there's no difference between the two. El Alabzak Gemara Latzia B'Dayan. It must be that's the word. That by Chazavish, by Zorah L'chayayim V'hakeva has a din of din, that if a wise guy steals it and eats it, or he burns it, he destroys it, we're going to bring in the Torah, we are going to make him pay. Not like Rav Chisda says. Rav Chisda said you don't have to pay. Rav Chisda was talking about Matlis Kuna, Zorah L'chayayim V'hakeva. And Chazavishayik is, you don't have to pay. Chazavishayik is not a din. But Zorah L'chayayim V'hakeva is a din. So the Gemara says, so you see Rav Chisda is wrong. Chizda claims a mazik matans kahuna oyachola. If somebody destroyed them or he ate them, he doesn't have to pay. No, but you have a brisa that says that zrala chayyana kevi you can make a dinter, and chazav v'shoik he cannot. If some wise guy steals the chazav v'shoik, then you can't make a dinter to make him pay. But the zrala chayyana kevi can make a dinter. So Gemara says, doesn't the brisa contradict Rav Chizda? And for the Gemara, when the Rav Chizda say that you cannot make a dinter against the one who steals the Zerah L'chayim HaKev and he eats it and he destroys it, that calls man, you didn't give it to a particular coin yet, it's still Mom Shem L'tovim, you didn't give it to a coin yet, it just belongs to the Shevet Kuna. But Hachem am I asking, when the Brisa says that it is, you can make a Din Torah, that's talking that you already gave the Zerah L'chayim HaKev to a particular Kohen, you already gave it to a Kohen, so it's Mom his. So someone goes and they steal. It's like stealing $10, like stealing $50 from a guy. Rav Chisda says, if you stole it, it belongs to the Shevet Kahuna. You didn't exercise your Tavis Anah to give it to a particular Kohen yet. So if you steal from Shevet Kahuna, then you can't make the guy pay back. But if you already gave it to an individual Kohen, and it's his private ownership, so somebody steals it, of course it's a dinter. Frag the Gemara, so what's the chidah? So what do you need a pasuk for that? That's the next line. Exactly. That's the Gemara's kasha. That's the best kasha. What do you need a pasuk for? If you already gave it to the Kohen and you stole $50 from the Kohen, that's private ownership. Of course, that's exactly. No. We're talking about a special case. Whenever you shecht an animal, anywhere in the world, that's what it says in the Mishnah, and Rashi chiseled it down, we are only in Eretz Yisrael, okay. Whenever you shecht an animal in Eretz Yisrael, so you have to take out Zerah L'chayim V'hakeva and give it to the Kohen. So the Gemara says, we're talking about a case, he gave it to the Kohen, he shechted an animal, and he gave the whole animal to the Kohen, and he didn't take out the parts yet. He didn't designate the Zerah L'chayim V'hakeva. And he gives the whole animal to the Kohen, and he says, I mean, the Zerah L'chayim V'hakeva is yours. But the Shochet has to separate it first. So the Gemara says, that's what you need a pasuk for. The Osi L'yodeh, the Kohen got a bit of layu. Just like when you mafish Trumas and Maisers, before you mafish everything is Tevel, after you mafish it's Chulim Misukotim, it's not called Tevel anymore. Here also, they call the animal, before you remove the Zerah L'chayim V'hakeva, we call the animal that you shecht the Tevel. As if it's tevel, you're not supposed to eat it. You're not supposed to begin eating until you take out the Zerah L'chayim V'hakeva. So the pasuk tells me, in that case, the pasuk tells me that Zerah L'chayim V'hakeva is moitzi in bidayonim. You can make a din Torah. When is that? If I gave it to the shochet, gave it to the kohen before he separated from the animal, the kasava haitan, and this tan of that brisa is all the opinion. That's a machlokes b'shamayim b'silo. That's a machlokes hatanaim in the Mishnah. The din is like this. This needs a little explanation. This needs a lot of explanation. This needs like this. There's a din. Whatever grows in Eretz Yisrael is tevel until you mafrish trumas and maisim. So what do you mafrish? So the first is the 7 year shemitah, is 7 year cycle. So the 7th year shemitah, everything is supposed to, is, the farm is supposed to declare it hefker. Once everything is hefker, so there's no trumas and maisim at all. Fine. But the other 6 years that you're not mafker, so you have to be mafrish trumas and maisim. So the first 2 years you mafrish truma gedoyla, 2% of everything. Then you mafrish maisim rishon, 10% of what's left after you took out the Truma Gedoyla, and then you mafrish Maisa Sheni. Maisa Sheni is a mitzvah to bring it to Yerushalayim and need a big dusha of a tahara. Then the 3rd year, instead of Maisa Sheni, you mafrish Maisa Oni. You mafrish Truma Gedoyla, 2%, then you mafrish 10% of what's left. After taking out 2%, you're left with 98 units, and you give 10% of that, 9.8 is Maisa Rishon, and then you give Maisa Mena Maisa, you give 0.98. The lady gives 0.98 to the kohen, ma'isa mena ma'isa, that's called trumas ma'isa. And then the 3rd year, instead of ma'isa sheni, to eat it, b'yushalayim, kedusha v'tahara, ma'avish ma'isa rani, give it to the ani. And then the 4th year, the 5th year, is a repeat of the 1st and 2nd year, and the 6th year is a repeat of the 3rd year. So what do you do with the ma'isa sheni? You bring it to Yerushalayim. So the din is, if it's too bulky, if it's too much to transport to Yerushalayim, because he had a very bountiful year. So the Torah says, the Torah allows him to make pinyan ma'aseh sheni. So the din is only berichuk makam. You can only kirchak mimcha makam, kilo suchel seiso, ki yivarechuk Hashem alakech. If you live far away from Yerushalayim, then the Torah gives you a break. It may cost you so much money to transport it to Yerushalayim, may not even pay. The whole ma'aseh sheni is only worth $5, and the transportation cost is going to be $10. It's going to spend $10 to eat $5. So the Torah gives you a break. It can be paid. So how far is Richuk Machem? Kirchak Mimcha Machem? How far is it? So the Gemara says Psiachas Chutz Lechamis Yerushalayim. You 1 step out of Yerushalayim. That's called, strictly speaking, that's called Kirchak Mimcha Machem. If the Ma'aseh Sheni is already in Yerushalayim, you can't be paid. Ma'aseh Sheni is 1 step. The guy's walking to Yerushalayim and he has like a hobo, and he has a stick, and he has a backpack, and he has the Ma'aseh Sheni in his pack. So he already walked into Yerushalayim, but the stick with the Ma'aseh Sheni is outside. He can still be paid. But if he already brought it into Yerushalayim, that's called Kirab Makam. You can't be paid in Ma'aseh Sheni in Yerushalayim. You can only be paid in Chutz Yerushalayim. What if you brought the Ma'aseh Sheni into Yerushalayim, then you take it out? So Minat Torah, once you take it out, you took it out. In the Rabbanon, there's a concept of called Tuhu Mechitzis. The mechitzas of Yerushalayim are koilek the ma'aseh sheni. Koilek is like a baseball glove. You catch the ball, it's koilek. So the ma'aseh sheni is niklat in Yerushalayim. And there are two dinim of kaltu mechitzas. One din, you're not allowed to take it out of Yerushalayim. Once you brought it in, you're not permitted to take it out. And the second din is even if you took it out, midirabbanon, it doesn't lend itself to pidyon anymore. Meratari, you may take it out and you can be poided. Once you take it out, you can be poided. Midirabbanon, there are two dinim. You're not permitted to take it out of Yerushalayim, and even if you took it out, it no longer lends itself to people. So the Tanoim have a machlekes, Bisham and Misil, and the Mishnah is Maseches Maaseh Sheni. There's a truck that has tevel on the truck. And the truck is going from one location to the other, and the shortcut is to drive through the old city of Yerushalayim. So you go, this is Yerushalayim. So he drives in one way over here, and he goes through the whole city, goes out. So the whole tevel was on the truck, and it went through Yerushalayim near Atika. Do you say Tevel has the Ma'aseh Sheni mixed into it? Matana Shalohurma Kemisha Hurma Damya. We visualize Tevel as if it has the Truma mixed in. Truma Psiche Be is Allah Shalomar. Truma is mixed in, blended in, as Ma'aseh Rishon is blended in, and the Ma'aseh Sheni is blended in. And when the farmer is Mafresh, he's not creating Truma Gedol, he's not creating Ma'aseh Rishon, just being Mavar. Oh, this 2%, this is the Truma Gedol. And this 9.8%, this is the Ma'aseh Rishon, and this is the Ma'aseh Sheni. He's just being Mevara. Or he's saying, no, Matana Shalahurma Kemishalahurma Damyam. Beishameh hold, no, there is no such thing. It's not true that when you have Tevel, it has the Truma is mixed in, and the Ma'aseh Rishon mixed in. Not mixed in. Tevel is Tevel. When you mafresh Truma, you're creating Truma. Mafresh Ma'aseh Rishon, you're creating Ma'aseh Sheni, Ma'aseh Rishon. So the simple reading in the Mishnah, that's a machlok is Bisham and Bisil. So we pass like Bisil. That's what the Gemara says. Matana Shaloi Hurmu, the Truma Gdoila, the Ma'aseh Rishon, the Ma'aseh Sheni, is considered as if it's all there in the Tetlal. And when the farmer is mafresh Truma Gedolah, there's not creating Kedushas Truma Gedolah, just being Mavar. Where is it? He knows that the Truma Gedolah is floating around here, and the Maaser Sheni is floating around. It's just Mavar where it is. So we paskin like Bissil, if the truck went through Yerushalayim, we say Kol Tuhu Mechitzis, we consider it as if the Maaser Sheni was there on the truck, and the Maaser Sheni was in Yerushalayim for 2 minutes before the truck went out. So Kol Tuhu Mechitzis, even though you weren't supposed to take it out, even though he took it out, no longer lends itself to pidyon. That's one case of cult of matana shalohurmu kimisha hurmu damya. We pass like pesilu kimisha hurmu damya. Another case would be the following: let's say a kohen has a farm. How did the kohen get a farm? When they divided Eretz on the days of Yishuv, the kohen and Levim never got anything. He bought a farm from somebody else, or he yashan from his grandfather, who was not a kohen. His grandfather was one of the other shvatim, and he got a chelik. And the grandfather dies, he only has daughters, and the daughter married a kohen. So the grandson is a kohen. So the grandson yashins from the farm. So the grandfather was a kohen, and he had all this tevel, and he didn't have a chance to be mafresh trumas and maisus, and he dies. So he goes birusha. He goes to the daughter died already, the daughter predeceased the father. So the grandson yashins from the grandfather. So the din is that a kohen who has tevel, he's supposed to be mafresh truma samayis, but he doesn't have to give the truma to another kohen. He can keep the truma himself. Maaser Rishon, if there's a lady has a farm and he's mafresh Maaser Rishon, he's not mechuyev to give it to a different lady. He can keep it for himself. If an oni has a farm and he's mafresh on the third year that sticks, he's mafresh Maaser oni, he has no right to keep it for himself. That's the brisa on the next daf. Even an oni has Leket Shikrepeya, Peret Olavas, all the Matnas Anim, all the six Matnas Anim, you have Maisa Oni, you're not allowed to keep it for yourself. You have to give it to a different Oni. But the Trumagdaila, if a Kohen has Tevel, he's Mafresh Trumagdaila, he keeps it. He has no Chiv to give it to a different Kohen. And if the lady has a farm and he's Mafresh Maisa Rishon, he can keep it. So the Shaila here is, the Kohen had tons of Tevel. And he wasn't Mafresh, if he would have been Mafresh the Trumagdaila already, so it's his, so he keeps it. Even when he dies and it goes to his, let's say the kohen on the farm, and the kohen dies and he has a grandson who yashan, the grandson is nishkin kohen. The grandson is his daughter's child, and the daughter married a non-kohen. So the non-kohen yashans the truma, so he can sell it to a kohen. He doesn't have to give it away. The grandfather was mafresh truma, the grandfather was a kohen, he has a right to keep the truma. So when the grandfather dies, it goes birusha to the grandson. The grandson can't eat it because he's not a kohen, but he can sell it to a kohen. However much it's worth, it has a lot of restrictions. He can't eat it in the state of tumah. Okay? So it's worth less than normal tvua, but it's worth a certain amount of money. So here the shaila is a discussion in Bava Basra and other mesichtas here. Kiddushin, a whole bunch of mesichtas, this topic appears. So the grandfather was a kohen. He had tevel, but he didn't live so long to be mafresh trumas and maisers. The grandfather dies, and it goes birusha to the grandson is not a kohen. Now the grandson is mafresh truma gedolah maaser rishon. So does the grandson have to give the truma gedolah to a kohen? What do you say? No, the grandfather had the tevel already before he died. And matana shalohurma kemisha hurma damya. We pass like pesilo. When you have tevel, the tevel is considered as if the truma is psicha bay. Truma is mixed in, and the Maaser Rishon is mixed in, and the Maaser Sheni is mixed in. So the grandfather had the Truma Gedolah before he died. So he wasn't mechuyev to give it to someone else. So since we pass on like Beis Hillel, Matana Shalahurmu, Kimishu Hurmu Damyan, it's considered as if the Tevel has the Truma mixed in. So the grandfather was a kohen, he had Truma. He's not mechuyev to give it away. So when the grandfather dies, it goes birusha to the grandson, is not a kohen. Grandson and not mechuyev to give it away either. So that's what the Gemara says. This Tana who says they have a pasuk that says that zrah l'chayayim v'akeva, you can make a din Torah, and means if anybody steals it from the kohen or is mazik it, you got to pay. Does not contradict Rav Chizda. He says you don't have to pay. Gemara says no. Rav Chizda is talking. You didn't give it to a particular kohen yet. So the zrah l'chayayim v'akeva belongs to the shevet kohuna in abstract. And the shoychet, the owner of the animal, the slaughterhouse, has a right to take his honor, to give it to whichever kohen he'd like to. But he was talking, he already gave it to the kohen. Already gave it to the kohen, what did he need a pasuk for? Moses says, no. He gave it to the kohen before he separated it. The whole animal, he shechted the animal already. But he gave it to the Kohen before he took out the Zerah L'Chayim HaKeva. But since, so that's what the Pasuk tells me, the Matana Shalai Humra, even though you didn't take it out, Kemisha Humra Damya. It's not a fair comparison. It's not a fair comparison. The Rishonim in Yesh Nechem point out, it's not a fair comparison. Why not? But if you have Tevel, you have bushels, they'll say you have 100 bushels of Tevel in a room. So you have to take out 2% and give it as Truma Gedolah. So you can take any 2 bushels you want and give it to the Kohen. I can take these 2, and those 2, whatever I want. By Zerah, or the other case, also the Kohen died and it goes Birusha to the grandson. The Tevel is Psichabe, the Truma is blended in somewhere. When you mafresh the Truma and the Meiser, you have to designate which is the Truma, which is the Meiser. Here, before the animal is geshachten, you know what is the Zerah, you know which is the Lechayim, you know which is the Kev. So what do you mean? The Kohen got it bitivlai, it got in a state of Tevel. I didn't cut it out from the animal yet. You don't have to cut it out. You don't have to be mavar anything. The second you shechted it, it already belongs to the Shevet Kohuna. And then I already exercised my Tavisan, I gave permission to the Kohen, go and take it. So that's why this Gemara is a little difficult, a lot difficult. Why it says, and this Tana is of the opinion, the Kasava Hai Tana, this Tana holds, Matana Shalahurmu is Kemisha Hurmu Damyan. He doesn't have to hold Kemisha Hurmu. It is Hurmu. The minute you shech the animal, you already know which is Valachayan Bakeb, it is Hurmu. So the Shita Mukubetz is there, and Baba Basu Kuf Chav Gimel points it out. It's not really the same as the other case. It could be here. Everyone should agree.
Before the
Shechita,
you still also know.
What about before? What if I gave it to the Kohen before Shechita? I'm about to shech the behemoth, and I tell the Kohen, you take this animal, and after I'm going to shech it tomorrow, and after I shech it, the Zerah L'Chayim HaKev is going to belong to you. But it didn't shecht it yet. So it calls man Yiddish. If I want, I can give away the whole behemoth matana to the Kohen. But that's not matan's kuhuna. When you shecht it, then you become mukhayif to give Zerah L'Chayim HaKev to the Kohen. And then you can give it. But if you give it to the Kohen before you even shecht it, so that's not matan's kuhuna. It's like a Dovish Labol Yoyla.
It's similar at all, that's what we said. That's one of the things we do. We make a Kayin a Shittuf now on that. So you don't have to give a Kayin.
Make a Kayin a Shittuf, so you're part of the whole mitzvah.
But the mitzvah, so we give it to the Vim, part of his whole mitzvah.
Yeah, so that's a question here. The Pashta says he gave it to the Kayin after the Shchita, but before he cut it out. He didn't separate it. But that's what the Shittim Betzis writes in Yesh Nechem. What do you have to separate? Everybody knows where it is. There's the Zerah, there's the Chayim. By Truma, you have to pick out which 2 bushels are Truma, which 10 bushels are Maiserish. Here's nothing to pick out. It's Mavur V'Yayme. Here the 2 Rashis. Rashi has a funny Lashon here, and later he corrects it a little bit. Rashi writes on this Gemara, he gives it to the Shoichet, gives it to the Kohen. The behemah happens to, Rashi has a lashon, the behemah happens to be in the backyard of the Kohen, and then the Kohen is zeichem min hafker, the Zerah L'Chayim HaKev. What's zeichem min hafker? How is it zeichem min hafker? It's not hafker. The animal belongs to me. When I'm going to shech the animal, the Zerah L'Chayim HaKev belongs to the Shevet Kohuna. And I have the right to pick out Tovus HaNo. I have the right to pick out which Kohen I want to give it to. What kind of a lashon zechem and a hefker? That's very strange. Rashi writes here, "Zechem b'matonis min a hefker." When Rashi repeats it again later, he doesn't say like that. He says again, "Either I think Rashi on the next day has zechem and a hefker, or the owner of the beim said, I want to give it to you. He picked them out in advance. He exercised his tovus hanoah. But to say zechem and a hefker, what kind of lashon is that?" The farmer, the one who shechts the animal, has the right to pick which kind. Kind can't be zechem and a hefker. That's a strange Rashi. Rashi's lashon is strange.
He says over here, a behema shlema.
He didn't even shecht it yet.
Right.
Rashi sounds like he didn't even shecht it yet. So mamish dezol chayvein, so dov shalaboli yalo. That's not batana shalavunu. That's difficult. Matana Shalahurma means I have Tevel, and I Truma and Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni is all mixed in. And then you say, Matana Shalom, Kamesh Yomadam is considered as if it's there already. But before you shech the behemah, you don't say, Nizra l'chayam akev is here. It's not here yet. You didn't shech it so the mitzvah doesn't get off the ground. If it'll drop dead, there won't be a mitzvah of Zorah Chayyam Vakev. It's only if you shech, Me'ez Zov Chazevach. If you shech, you make the Nevela, there's no mitzvah of Zorah Chayyam Vakev.
He did the Achonah.
He plans to shech.
Yes, that's already
started. Those are the two problematic lines in the Rashi. It sounds like you give the whole behemah before you shech it. That should be, that's too early in advance. Then he ends off the line, Zechman Hefker. So the Zechman Hefker, he corrects later. Rashi says, not Zechman Hefker, but rather the one who was the owner says, I want to get, he exercises his type of zonah, says, I want to give it to the kohen. Okay, so again, so Rav Chisda claims that if you destroy Zorah L'chayam Akeva, you can't make a dintar against the guy. Gemara said, here it's a beferish b'raisa that you can. Gemara says, no, that b'raisa goes, he already gave it to the kohen. Gave it to the kohen, it's pshita, it's his private ownership, that's not the mamash en atov. And for the Gemara, no, that's the Chiddush. He gave it to Tivlayu, and the Braisa goes, but the Shita, Matana Shalom, and Kamisha Umadam. Okay. So, Zayin HaZayin. Then the Gemara is going to say, Toshma. You're going to have another riot against Rav Chisda. That even if you take Mamon, Shein Lo Tovim, there's no particular person to whom you owe the money. You have to give the money to somebody who belongs to this group, like the whole Shevet Kuna. You still... there's still a dintar. The bezim will force you to pay, even though there's no particular person who has the ability to be tevei. So the Gemara quotes a Mishnah in Peah. Balabai shahayev v'mimachim namakam. Balabai is as opposed to an oni. An oni, a poor man, doesn't have masayim zuz. What's the definition of oni or an asher? So an oni is defined, the person doesn't have masayim zuz. What is the significance of masayim zuz? The Yerushalmi said, masayim zuz is the amount of money you need to live on for a whole year. It's an awful lot of money. Masayim Zuz. Today, Masayim Zuz is meaningless. But Masayim Zuz means the amount of money today, they would give a different amount. How much they need to live for a whole year? Well, at least $30,000. Unless you're going to fast on Asim 3 days a week. That's a normal person, you need for food and clothing and shoes and a apartment, you have to pay rent. Normal. So let's say a person is a balabais, means he's not an oni. He's a wealthy man. He has a lot of money and his stuff to buy in his mattress and his bank account. He has a lot of money, but he's traveling and he doesn't go with the money. He doesn't have the money with him. So he runs out of money. He has no cash. So he can go to the pushkin and take out money. And then the shayma is, when he goes back home and now he has access to the money, how much money did he borrow from the pushkin? $50 for the car fare. So when he goes back home, he should set aside $50 and give it to anim of his choice. That's what it says. Balabai shohayev memakom lemakom. He's traveling, and he runs out of money, and he needs cash. With tzarich lita leket shikro peya meiser oni. He has to take money to buy. He needs food. He needs a car fare. Okay, noitel he's allowed to take because right now he's out of money. Ulekeshayachsam, when he goes back home and he has all the assets. He always had the assets, but he didn't have access. Didn't have a credit card with him. He didn't have any credit card with him. So when he goes back home, Yishalein, he has to pay back all the money. To whom does he pay back? To Aniyim, of his choice. It's the Shevet Aniyim, so to speak, Shevet Aniyim. Divrei Reb Lezer, that's what Reb Lezer says. So it contradicts Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda says, if you have mom, Shein L'Tayvim, if you owe money, you stole money from Shevet Kohunim. So there's no particular coin who can bring it to the Torah, so the Bezim will not force you to pay. So here, I took money from the Shevet Aniyim, I took money from the Pushka, and then there's no particular ani, it's Tzedakah L'Aniyim, there's no particular ani who can claim that I owe him the money. Then nonetheless, Reb Lezer says in the Mishnah, Yishalein, he must pay. And for the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda, he wants to defend his Shita. Amar Rav Chisda, yeah, this is Chasina Shonokan. Mikar Adin, he doesn't have to pay back. They won't force him to pay. It's a Midas Chasina. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Omar Rava. The Mishnah says, Yishalein. Tana Tani, Yishalein. The Mishnah writes a Lashon, he must pay. How do you reinterpret the Mishnah? It doesn't say, if you want to do a Midas Chasidus payback. It says, Bezna will force him to pay. The Ode, and another thing, Rava says, why did they ask a Kohen? We don't pass on like Rav Lezer. The Gemara says, Rav Lezer Shamutihu. Rav Lezer ben Hurkanes was from the Beis Shammai. So Ruba the Ruba, whenever he disagrees with Rabbi Yeshua, usually his bar pluk is Rabbi Yeshua, Usually we don't paskin like Reb Lezen. It's very rare that the Gemara says. We rarely paskin like Reb Lezen.
But the Gemara says that he overweight all the other...
Yeah, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, if all of Chachan Yisrael be on one scale, he'll be on the other scale, he would outweigh the others. Because he was a bigger bucky. He was the Bar Sucha of Abitipa. Yeah. He was a great guy, but he was from the Beis Shammai, so his opinions were always in the minority. So Rabbi Tainis Beod, Mid the Rabbi Lezer, Lekim Elezer, yes, Kakashan Avchiza from Rabbi Lezer, we don't pass Kakablazer. So why was it a Kasha in the first place? Elazad Bigmar, Mi Sefer, let's ask the Kasha from the Sefer that we do paskin like from the Chachamim with this year. Chachamim is Rabbi Shua. What does it say? The Chachamim Amrim, Ani Hayab Yosha Shua. Since the Balabas was traveling from one place to the other, he didn't have a credit card, he didn't have money in his pocket, he had a din of money,
yeah.
So he doesn't have to repay anything. He had a din of money at the time. I remember when we learned in Yeshiva, so a lot of boys would walk over from Washington Heights to Rabbi Gerelik Shul in the Bronx. Or I lived in the Bronx, I would walk over. On Shabbos afternoon, there was Menachem Karolinsky used to give a shiur at Tmura and say, oh, well, the turf and the brisker of Tmura. He was a businessman. But he, Brisk Rav's Torah was printed on Tmura. Rabbi Gerelik would give his fiery drushes. We would enjoy, say, after Shabbos was over, Rabbi Gerelik would take money from the Pushka. And we give the boys, we shouldn't walk home. We would walk home, 20 money, you shouldn't walk home. Oni hu b'yos ha-shor. You don't have to give the money back to Tzedakah. Since our pockets were empty on Shabbos, we had money at home. But since we were there on Metzoy Shabbos, we didn't have any money. So we're allowed to take money from the Tzedakah Pushkin. We don't have to reimburse them. The din is like the Chacham. So the Chacham and Paskin, Ani Hay B'yos HaShoah, every Metzoy Shabbos, he would take money from the Tzedakah Pushkin. Ani Hay B'yos HaShoah, he doesn't have to reimburse. So the Gemara, what do you see from the Lashon of the Chachamim?
Is there a definition for an Evyon? Because an Evyon is an even lower level of money.
Yeah, it doesn't have anything. Toiv l'chol dover, Rashi writes. Evyon, alabeis, is miloshen toiv. He desire. He has such a great desire because he has nothing. And Ani doesn't have enough money. He doesn't have the Masayim Zuz. And Shulchan Aruch says like this, an Ani is either... If a person has a steady job and he has a steady income and it covers all his expenses every week, that's called an Oshir. Even though he doesn't have money in the bank, 200 zuz. But if he doesn't have a steady job, he has no steady income, so how much money does he have in savings? So if he has in savings 200 zuz, enough to live for a whole year, then it's called an Oshir. But in Shulchan Aruch it says also this, if the fellow has a steady income and all of his expenses are covered, then it's not called an Ani. So one of my sons-in-law learned in America's Harav under Rabbi Avram Shapiro. He used to be the Rosh Yeshiva there for many years. He was the chief rabbi for a while. So they asked Rabbi Avram, they have Aniyim in Yerushalayim, they go around collecting all over, they go collect. So they said, Abim Mukhiv, to give them stock when they ask for money. So Rabbi Avram said with a straight face, they have a steady income, so they have a din of Ashir, you're not Mukhiv. They're Ashir, they have a steady income.
If you have
to go on Zeus in the bank, spend one Zeus, it's a Shadanani. Yeah. If you have Messiah Zeus and you lose one Zeus, then you're an Ani. If somebody gives you one Zeus, then you're an Osher. Yeah, it's an Avla. You shouldn't give him one Zeus to make him an Osher. That's all in the Mishnah. Yeah. So Rabbi says, Ella, you should ask the Kasha from the Sefer. Ella mi Sefer. Ask the Kasha from the Sefer. What does it say? At the time that he took the money from the Pushke, he was an Ani, so he doesn't have to reimburse at all. But you see from the Lashon, time of the Ani, the reason why he doesn't have to reimburse is because he was an Ani at that time, because he had no access to money. His pockets were empty on Shabbos. His pockets were empty, he's out of town. But Osher, but if an Osher steals from the Pushke, if an Osher borrows from the Pushke, an Osher steals from the Pushke, he is mechayev to pay. So from the implication of the Mishnah, you see, Lachbach Rav Chizah, Rav Chizah says, anyone who steals from the Pushka, you can't bring him to a dentara because the Mamash ain't lot of him. So for the Gemara, why is the implication only on a Hebrew Hashem? But if it would have been an Ashir and he's stealing from the Pushka, we would make him pay. Why not consider him a heavy Kemazik, Matos Kunun Shacholon? According to Rav Chizah, you can't make a din Torah, and for the Gemara Rav Chizdeh, Mivis Chasidish Anukav. You made a diuk from the Mishnah that if he would have been an Asher, but it doesn't say that din. You made a deal, but the lashon doesn't appear. In the Reisha, Rabbi Lezer said Yishalem. So Yishalem means you must pay, and you can't say Midas Chasidus. But in the Sefer, it doesn't say. He just made a deal. If he would have been an Asher, the proper thing would be that he should reimburse. But that you can say that proper thing. That's a Midas Chasidus. So his comment is accepted on the Sefer. Frag the Gemara, they're quoting more brice. They want to reject Rav Chisda. So Gemara Toshma, another brice. I mean, I'm the Balabai Shochel Peiros and Tvolim. Balabais has Paris, it's all Tevel. He's supposed to give away 2% as Truma. He's supposed to give away 10% as Maise Rishon. Then supposed to be Mafrish Maise Sheni. Okay, he eats everything up. He was never Mafrish the 2%. So he stole the 2%. He wasn't Mafrish it yet, but in effect, he stole the 2% that he was supposed to give to the Kohen. He stole the 10% that he was supposed to give to the Levi. The Chain Levi, when you give Maise Rishon to the Levi, so the Levi has to be Mafrish Maise Min HaMaise. And that ma'isem and ha'ma'isem, and echshem lechem chumaschem kadogen ben agor mecham le'em ben ayakim. When the lady is mafrish, ma'isem and ha'ma'iser, that has the same status as truma gedoyim, as the same did. The Mishnah says there are four things that have the exact same status. Chala, bikurim, truma gedoyla, and ma'isem and ha'ma'isem. All four have a din of truma. All four are called truma. The din is that in order to get malchus for eating non-kosher food, there's a machlokes hatanoim. Reb Shimon says, "Kol shehula malchus." If you eat a little bit of mashu, you get malchus. And we don't pass like that. We pass you have to eat a kazayis. So what if you eat a half a kazayis of chazer and a half a kazayis of basa b'cholov? So it's a machlokes hatanoim. We pass any surim it's darkim zeh mzeh. You don't get malchus. You have to eat a kazayis of one isa. What if you eat? I'm not a kohen. I eat a kazayis that consists of four parts: 1/4 kazayis of truma gedayla, 1/4 kazayis of chala, 1/4 kazayis of bikurim, 1/4 kazayis of maisim and amaisim. So the Mishnah says in Maseches Me'ila that that's all shem echad, that's all truma. It's called shmasem shavim, shireim shavim. The shear for all four is kazayis, and it's all called truma. It's all shem echad. If you eat a half a kazayis of chazer and a half a kazayis of bas mechalav, that's two different shemas. Ain't shmasem shavim. You can't be mitzar one with the other. So the Gemara has over here that Ben Levi has Maisa Rishon, and he's supposed to be Mafish Maisa Min HaMaisa, and he didn't, and he eats it all up. So he's stealing 10% of what he has. He's supposed to give to the Kohanim. He didn't give it. Or the Balabais wasn't Mafish anything. He was supposed to give 2% Truma Gedolah to the Kohanim, 10% to the Levim. He didn't give anything. He ate everything up. So Minayin La Balabai Shochel, he eats everything Tevel, or the Ben Levi eats everything, and he didn't give anything to the Kohen or to the Levi. Minayin Shepata Minat Tashlum, and says that he does not have to pay. Says he does not pay Tamalam, Elo Yechalos Kodesh B'nei Yisrael, Asher Yarimo L'Hashem, only after you mafresh it, after you do the hafrosha, then if you eat it, you got to pay. Ein L'cho Behem Al Mishas Haram L'Vielach, the Kohanim and the Levim are only entitled after they do the hafrosha, but here they ate it before the hafrosha. Here the Balabais ate the whole tevel before the hafrosha, and the Levi ate before he was mafresh ma'isa mena ma'isa. That's a brisa. So the Gemara says that brisa seems to contradict Rav Chisda. It says if the farmer ate the tevel before he did the hafrosha, or the Levi ate the ma'isa before he mafresh the ma'isa mena ma'isa. But if he was mafrish to Truma Gedolah, and then he eats it, he was mafrish to Maisim and HaMaisim, then he eats it, then he does have to pay. But it does belongs to the Shevet Kahuna, so it should still be Mamon She'en L'Toivim. Amai, why do you say, based on the inference, he has to pay? Levi Kemazek Matum Skon Shacholah, and according to Rav Chisda, you should not be chayv to pay even in that case. And for the Gemara, no, we're talking about the same answer as before. Hohmas Kinnon, also the Yode, we're talking, it's already also the Yode. He already gave the Truma Gedolah to the Kohen. He gave the Maisa Mena Maisa to the Kohen. I gave it to the Kohen, what's the Chiddush? The Gemara said, he gave it B'Tivlayu. He gave it before he was Mafreshe. And the Tana holds, Kosovah Haitana, Matana Shalom Ekmeshu Umridan. So that's what the Gemara is going to continue with this topic. They're going to discuss, they're going to bring Rias. All the rice are against Rav Chisda. They're going to try to slug up Rav Chisda. So they're going to bring more rice on this topic. Okay, we'll stop here. One who eats real tevel, the rice is misa b'dei shamayim. Even if a kohen eats tevel. You don't say the reason why you're not allowed to eat tevel is because truma. There's a Rashi and Yavama says the reason why you're not allowed to eat tevel is because truma psicha bay. So it's like eating truma. So Tosis says it's not true. Even if a coin is allowed to eat truma, but a coin is not allowed to eat tevel. So you can't say that the reason why it's also to eat tevel is because truma psicha bay. You're eating a zash ochal truma is also misa b'day shamay. So Tosis says that Rashi gives you a mistaken impression. That if a Kohen eats Tevel, there wouldn't be Misa B'dei Shemayim. Tosfos says it's not true. Rashi also knows it's not true. Rashi just says that that's a fact, that Truma is Psicha Bei. That's a Loshon HaGemara. And this week said, we have the dinim that Kohanim are not permitted to be Metamei L'Meisim unless it's one of the seven relatives. So then it's permissible. It says, L'chos HaPsula, the parents and the children and the siblings, father, mother, brother, sister, son, daughter, and by the sister it says, and the spouse. And then it says, by the sister it says, L'chos HaPsula, if his sister was never married yet. If the sister was never Nivala, she's a Psula, and she was never married, then Lo Yitama. So how do you translate Lo Yitama? So we learned, for a long time we learned Soita. On Soita Dav Gimel, the Gemara has a Machleg, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel, whether Lo Yitama is a Rishus, or Rabbi Shmuel says, if the Kohen wants to, he may attend the funeral, but if he doesn't want to, he doesn't have to. And we don't paskan like Rabbi Shmuel, we paskan like Rabbi Kiva. Lo Yitama is a chayva. You're obligated to be metame. You're obligated to be metame. The Gemara says in Zvachim Daf Kuf, this was a machlokes before Rabbi Kiva was born. This is machlokes. Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel were after the Churban Abayis. This Man Abayis, way before this, was an ongoing debate in every generation whether the Kohanim are mechuyev to be metame to the Zayin Krevim or it's permissible. So before Rabbi Kiva was born, it was already up Gipaskan like that. That was the Psak HaMekubal generation after generation. Lo Yitama is a Chayva. You're Mechayv to be Metame. So there's an interesting Rambam Shita that Lo Yitama, you're Mechayv to be Metame to the Mesim, the Zayin Krevim, only a Kohen who's Muzer Alatumo, he's not allowed to be Metame. Kohen Zohar, male Kohen, who's not allowed to be Metame the Mesim usually. So if it's one of the seven relatives, then he's mechuyev. But if it's, I'm not a kohen, if a person is not a kohen b'chol, then he's not mechuyev to be metame. So the rabbi asks, where did he get that from? Well, it doesn't make any sense. Rashi and Tosfos also seem not to agree with the Rama has a chiddush. Lo yitama is only, you're only mechuyev. If you're a kohen, and being metame lemeis is chiluk kedushas kuna, so that's the way to show kavod ameis. Lo yitama, the Rama says, lo yitama is the mocker, but the chiyav avela is their isa. The Rambam writes, "Kama chamurihi mitzvus avela shenitches bimpaneh isa tumas kohanim." The Rambam says the reason why the kohen has to be metamel amesim is this is a nihug avelus. He shows kavod ameis. There's a din of kavod abrius. We believe that everybody was created b'tzelem alakim, and therefore we believe in God. Number one, we believe in God. We believe number two that God created man. He didn't happen by himself, and God created man b'tzelem alakim. So because man was created with Tzelem Malakim, therefore Lo Yisiritzach, that's how the Medrash says that the Aseres Adibas, one opinion in the Medrash, that five of the Aseres Adibas were written on one Evan and the other five on the other Evan, and six, number six of Aseres Adibas corresponds to number one, and number seven corresponds to number two, and the Medrash spells it out. So number six is Lo Yisiritzach, that corresponds to Anochi Hashem Elokecha. We believe in God, we believe God created man with Tzelem Malakim, and therefore Lo Yisiritzach. Not only Lo Yisiritzach, you have to show Kavod Abrius to the Jews and to the non-Jews. The Jews even have a deeper degree of Kavod of Tzelem Alekim, that's called Banim Lamokim. But the Nochem also, there's an Indian of Tzelem Alekim, you have to be Mechabe. And the Pasuk Lo Yitama, people make a mistake. They think that the Jewish religion revolves about death. You said Shiva, and you have Kaddish, and Yortzeit, and Yisker. These are the most insignificant part of the Jewish religion. The Jewish religion revolves about life. We stay away from death. The Kohanim stay away from the dead people. We're not. Our religion does not revolve about the dead. I remember Rav Soloveitchik once gave, he always was the main speaker of the Chag HaSmicha. Every couple of years the yeshiva would have a Chag HaSmicha. So Dr. Belkin wasn't a good public speaker. So he would speak for 15 minutes and then he would give over the podium to Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik would always give a major address at every Chag HaSmicha. So one Chag HaSmicha was dedicated, the Drosha was dedicated to this topic, that in his family have the tradition for the Vilna Gaon, they don't visit the Beis HaKvaris. They don't go because the Vilna Gaon, after his father died, went to visit the Beis HaKvaris. Then he had a dream. His father came to him in a dream. The father said, You gave me a tremendous nachas ruach by visiting the kever, but you should know it had a negative effect on your neshama. So that's all he had to hear. So from that time on, he never went to visit the Beis HaKvaros. So the Soloveitchik family followed all the traditions from Valozhin, from Abchaim Valozhin, and the Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. So they never used to go to the Beis HaKvaros. So the Gemara says, Lo Yitama is a chiyuv kavod abrius, even for dead people. Kal v'chaim for living people, that's a bigger chiyuv. Kavod achaim is a bigger chiyuv than kavod ameis. When the Chevra Kadisha brings in the mace, everybody stands up. We're not standing up out of kavod ameis. We never stood up while he was alive. Why do we stand up all of a sudden now when he's dead? So the Bar Tanura writes on Mishnah, and says, out of respect for the Chevra Kadisha, we're doing a mitzvah now. Because the Mishnah says, Mishnah is Bikurim, when the pilgrims came to the Beis HaMikdash, with the Bikurim, everybody has to stand up. Even though the pilgrims are not learned, not necessarily learned people, they're plain farmers. Out of kavod oisei mitzvah, they're in the process of performing a mitzvah. So when the kvata brings in the baby for the bris milah, everybody stands up out of respect for the kvata, not out of respect for the baby. The baby didn't do anything yet. What do we stand up? The kvata is doing a mitzvah. He's bringing the baby to the bris. And the chevra kadisha are carrying the orange, and they're doing a mitzvah. So the Gemara understands, if there's a din of kavod meisim, there's a din of kavod achaim. There's certainly a din. It's the din of kavod abrius. Kavod abrius is because we believe in God, and we believe God created man. We believe that man was created with tzelem elokim. So that's why you have to show respect. Many people have this mistaken impression. All they know about the Jewish, they don't know about Kash, Shabbos, Taras, HaMishpah. All they know is about the Kaddish, Yizkor, Yahrzeit, and Shiva. So the whole religion revolves about the dead. That's the least significant part of our religion. That's a mistake that many make. Okay.
The bris, everybody stands up. He's a good. Yes. Who's after the bris? Everybody.
Aye, nothing special.
The rabbi used to go regularly to his wife's kever. Every week.
Yes, every week, yeah. He told the story. That he was once before Rosh Hashanah. He was by his wife's cabin. He was about to leave. There was a taxi waiting for him. And a man came with two women. He thought he was a shaman. So he asked Rav Zaleshin, could you say a prayer by my grandmother's cabin? So he said a tefillah. And he says, my uncle is buried over there. He says, then he had a great uncle, Rav Hashanah. And he gives him a $20 bill. So the Rav gave him back money. He says, have a happy new year. It's okay. So he thought that he wanted more money, so he gave him $100. So he said, no, have a happy new year. So what does he want? What did he give him? So he didn't know. Then he saw there was a taxi waiting. So he went into the office and he asked, who is that man who just went in the taxi? He said, that's the chief rabbi of the United States. So he says, before Yom Kippur, he was a conservative Jew, before Yom Kippur, he sent $1,000 check for my money. And every year he sent $1,000 check. So he says, I violated the family tradition, because he went every week to the cemetery, but it paid off. So I told it over to Dr. Lin once, and nobody ever gave me $1,000 for saying, come on.